Hi, my name is Mike Gibb. I run AccountsRecovery.net, and I'm very excited to bring you today's webinar on a very important and very cool topic, at least I think so, cyber tracking. There have never been more resources available to find people today, yet actually locating them is probably harder than ever. So I'm very excited to have professional hunter Ron Brown here with us to share his tips and insights from a career spent finding people who don't want to be found. This webinar is being generously sponsored by Microbuilt. You'll get the chance to hear more about them in a minute. I want to take a quick second and say a few words about AccountsRecovery.net. AccountsRecovery.net is a news and information platform for the ARM industry. The site publishes unique and curated content, maintains a number of email newsletters, hosts webinars like this one, and offers a number of exciting podcasts for the credit and collection industry. The site is free for anyone in the industry to use, and is a great resource of news and insights to help educate and inform. I hope you all spend a few minutes every day checking out what it has to offer. Now, let me tell you a little bit about today's speaker. Ron Brown has more than 45 years of experience in the field of locating and recovering lost and missing people and assets. He's internationally recognized as one of the leaders in the tracing and recovery industry and spends much of his time acting as an instructor for various credit and collection entities. Having received the ACA International Fred Kirshner Instructor Achievement Award for instructing more than 250 ACA seminars, he was also three times selected by ACA International as the ACA Certified Instructor of the Year. Nationally recognized as one of the key instructors of the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, the Fair Credit Reporting Act, the Gramm-Leach-Bliley Act, and HIPAA, Ron has written many published articles on these ever-changing federal laws and continues to conduct seminars related to these statutes. Now I'd like to take a minute and talk about today's sponsor, Microbuilt. For more than 35 years, Microbuilt has been helping businesses assess and manage risk. They were a pioneer in the now exploding alternative credit data space, and as such, have refined their products and services to deliver true business value. Over the years, Microbuilt has invested heavily in acquiring best-in-class data. They've built sophisticated systems for keeping their data fresh and accurate, and powerful predictive models for making decisions around lending, leasing, collections, and risk management. With Microbuilt, you can customize the products you need and how much you want to spend, and all their products are provided through a single, simple access portal. Whether you're working in originations or debt collection, screening a potential hire or tenant, planning for growth, or keeping up with regulatory requirements, Microbuilt can be your partner, providing the insight and information you need to protect your business, grow your bottom line, and keep your company running smoothly. For more information, please contact Microbuilt at 1-800-884-4747 or visit www.microbuilt.com. The format for today's webinar will be a presentation from Ron, the title page of which you should see on your screen now. We encourage everybody to submit questions, and we'll get to them as the presentation is ongoing. To submit a question, please enter it into the question tab on your Zoom webinar control panel. This event is being recorded, and a recording will be made available in the coming days on AccountsRecovery.net. With that, let me hand the microphone over and introduce Ron Brown to begin his presentation. Ron?
Thank you, Mike, and thank all the people who are attending today. I hope that this is beneficial for you. When I do these programs, I have what I call my three E's. I like for them to be educational. I like for them to be enlightening. I like you to learn something you didn't know before. And I like them to be a little entertaining. So, you know, we'll have a little fun as we go along the way. First of all, let's look at the next slide, and let's look at what a cyber tracker actually is. You know, in the collection business, in the asset recovery business, you cannot collect money, you cannot recover property unless you can find the people. And this has changed tremendously through the years. Man's ability to skip trace has always paralleled the ability to communicate. And never in the history of man have we had the communication tools that we have today. The cell phones are no longer cell phones. And actually, most people don't realize that they're tracking devices, because when you've got that cell phone turned on, people know exactly where you are, and you let them know where you are. You give them permission to know where you are. Can I use your current location? You see that again and again, and people don't realize what they're doing when they hit that little tab and say yes. But the skip tracer has modified into an area we refer to as cyber trackers. They hunt people on the cyber highway. And as you'll see there on the slide, it's a hunter of people and or assets who has the ability to track through electronic sources, to analyze the data, and to exclude that which does not match the tracking pattern of the person or asset they're searching for. There's so much information out there, you have the ability to get it, but you've got to decide, is this actually the person I'm looking for? And it's very, very easy for people to lay down false trails also when you're cyber tracking. Always remember that. One of the great advantages is that you have the ability to search 24/7, 365, because you're never communicating with any real person. As long as you're in your read-only mode, which is whatever cyber tracker should always be in, you have no consumer contact. Therefore, it greatly mitigates and reduces the chance of violating any skip tracing laws. Section 804 of the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act defines what location information is, and it's very limited. It's the person's current address, their current residential phone number, and their employment. It doesn't even include the employment phone number. Whereas when you're cyber tracking, you can pick up a lot more information than that. Relatives, friends, employment, employment locations, everything is out there. It's very important to remember what your number one tool as a cyber tracker is going to be. And we see that on the next slide. And I want to tell you why. You know, in the cyber tracking industry, in the skip tracing business, in any industry, I've always found it is not the person that knows how that necessarily gets ahead, but rather the person that knows why. Why does something work? Why does cyber tracking work so well? The human mind. You know, the human mind is the number one tool that a cyber tracker has. Why? Because number one, we have the ability to reason. You know, even the most expensive, greatest computer that you can buy, the learning computers that actually learn things, they don't even compare to the human mind. They can't reason. Man and woman are the only things in the world that has the ability to reason. Fish, fowl, animals, they don't reason. They run just out of fright. They fight out of fright. But man has the ability to reason. Hey, I don't want to fight with this guy because he's twice my size and half my age. We can reason. The person may be going to do this. Well, why would they do that? And if I think they're going to do this, they may do that. The prey has the ability to reason just like you do. So always remember that. Why? Understanding why. Why people do certain things. We are all creatures of habit, and we use that habit to find people. We have the ability to counter move, to get in front of them. If they're going to do this, we're going to do that. And the greatest thing, we have the ability to use all of these abilities at the same time. We can multitask. That's the human mind, and that will always be the number one tool of a cyber tracker. Keep that in mind. The computer is important. The data sources are important. But the human mind is the most important thing. And something else we need to understand about the human mind. We don't all think the same way. We have a very unusual phenomenon in America right now. We've never had this before. We have four distinct, moving on five distinct generations in the workplace, in the marketplace, in the credit place. You know, you can see these people. And we break it down in that they all have different, what we refer to as value tags, things that are important to them. Doesn't mean that one is any better, any worse, any different, but it's very important that if you're going to be a cyber tracker, that you understand the patterns of some of these people. Pre-boomers, they were born before 1945, and they're 73 plus at this point. Still out there. People are living longer. They're still getting credit. And therefore, if they're getting credit, you're going to be looking for some of them. They will always have a landline. They live and die by the landline telephone number. So when you're searching for them, what you're going to be searching for are landline numbers. Boomers, born between 1945 and 1964, and this is still the largest generation there is in the United States. Everything is about the boomers. What do the new Mustangs look like? The old Mustangs, the ones that they got, you know, back in the 60s when they were in college, graduating from high school. The new Mustangs look like that. You know, the boomers are out there, and they're what we call an echo generation. the majority of them, one parent, one of those pre-boomers, was at home, gave them values. You know, the pre-boomers, the boomers, they're very security-minded people. They stay on the same job their entire life. They live in the same house. Their goal is to buy a house, to get the house paid for, to stay on the job and retire. So we use those things when we're looking for these people. And we have to understand how their mind works. X generation, 1965 to 1984, these people are between 34 and 53. And, you know, they're the old hippies. They just, you know, they're out there. They're still working. They're still in the marketplace. They're a little lackadaisical. Some of them have still got their old tie-dye shirts and their bell-bottom pants. And you know them when you see them. The Y generation is a very odd little generation. They're between 33 and 14. And there is a group there that I really like to talk about, and they're called latchkey kids. We see them at work quite a bit. They're, you know, in the workplace today. And what they do, what they're looking at is, when they were kids, they would get dressed in the morning. Both parents worked. They would get ready to go to school. The parents would look at them and say, "Hey, yeah, the clothes you got on are good. We'll see you tonight." They would immediately change clothes, and they would go to school wearing what they wanted to wear. These are the ones that come in jeans. And of course, the big thing now, these jeans, they got holes in them. They're wore out when you buy them. I don't understand these people. They pay extra for holes in wore out jeans. But, you know, that's part of their mindset. These are the ones that, you know, they're always 10, 15 minutes late for work, and they want to leave early on Friday for whatever reason. But what does it matter? When they were kids, they had chores to do. They would come home from school. They would lay around. They would watch TV. They would talk on the phone. Parents got home at 6 o'clock, so 5:30 they start doing their chores. They had them all done by the time the parents got home. So what does it matter if I'm a little late for work? What does it matter if I come in a little early, if I leave a little early? What does this actually mean as long as I do my job? And again, remember, nothing good, nothing bad, but you've got to know the generational pattern of the people you're tracking. The cyber babies, they're between 18 and 23. They're a subclass of the Y generation. And, you know, they're scary. They're the thumbers. You can spot them when they're on their phone. Those thumbs are just itching back and forth, moving. They know about the computer. Everything's on the internet. They don't want to communicate with each other. And I really worry about this group because they don't want to talk. They want you to text them or they want you to email them. And I got two granddaughters, and they fit in this age group. And they were sitting on the couch a while back over at my house, and each of them are thumbing away. And I said, "What are you guys doing?" "Texting." "Who?" "Each other." I mean, they're sitting on the couch and they don't want to talk. I worry that these people will lose the ability to communicate. But as a cyber tracker, you're not communicating. So they make great skip tracers. High school kids right out of high school. They know all about computers. They know all about the social sites that we're going to be talking about. And I have found that they make outstanding skip tracers, as long as you use them as cyber trackers and keep them off the phones. So let's think about this a minute now. When you're cyber tracking, you have a certain mindset based on where you fit into that pre-boomer, boomer, X generation, Y generation. Residence time. How important is it for you to be at your residence? It may be very important. So you're looking at people who stay there, but you move over to some of these other generations. They move from apartment to apartment. A lot of people we look for move into an apartment where you get a month's free rent, takes them 3 months to get evicted, and then they're on to another apartment where they get a month's free rent and takes them 3 months to get evicted. So the residence time is not near as important. Employment, my generation, we were talking the other day, I've had 4 jobs in my entire lifetime, and I'm as old as dirt. So 4 jobs. Today, people don't think anything about changing jobs. One of my sons, he's an attorney. He was with 4 law firms in 4 years. He just kept changing. It wasn't any big deal to him. Education, we were brought up that you had to have a college education. You know, kids today, they get educated a lot of other ways. Homeschooling, online, whatever. Marriage, you know, I'll go back to my generation. When we said, "I do," we did. It was there. We were married for life. Today, people get married, they don't get along, they get divorced, they get married again. One of my employees has been married 5 times. And, you know, he's like 27 years old, married 5 times. He changes wives like I change socks. So just because we do things a certain way does not mean the people we're tracking are going to do them that way or have the same values. And once again, you go back to those different age groups, and that's why it's so important to understand those groups as a cyber tracker so you know what we're looking for. Security, on the job, vehicles, what do we drive? You know, my generation, we loved cars. Cars was the great thing. We got our first car. We had freedom. We could go and do what we wanted to do. We could take them apart. We could put them together. Today's generation, a lot of these cyber babies, they don't even want a car. We used to track people through vehicles, and you're going to see some of this coming up, how we track them. But, you know, a lot of today, Uber, they just Uber. They don't want a car. And now we're talking about cars that drive themselves. It was a great thing for me to drive my car. I love driving my car. Today, they don't want to drive. What's in the future? You know, who knows? Things are going to change. How do you motivate them? Obviously, that's the bottom line, because when you do find them, you got to motivate them to pay. What motivates me may not motivate them. Remember, when you're cyber tracking, your mind versus their mind, because you feel a certain way because you would do things a certain way, certainly does not mean that they're going to do things the same way or they're going to react the same way. Always remember that. Okay, let's move on to the next slide, and let's talk about the tools we cyber track with. You know, we've got computers. We've got communication tools, our telephones, and obviously the telephone today, they're no longer telephones. I can do anything on my smartphone that I can do on my computer. It's just minuscule. Directories, you know, when I got into collection business, the directories we used was a telephone book, the Polk directory, and the Crisscross directory. And, you know, you talk to people today and they don't even know what those directories are, but cyber trackers know those directories are all still on the net, and many, many more directories, all type of directories. And we're going to kind of talk about that. Some things that are important are the sources of your data. Where are you getting your information? Let me tell you, anything that comes off the internet may or may not be true. And I had a collector tell me a while back, well, if I don't think it's true, I Snopes it. Really? Who writes Snopes? You know, how do they know whether it's true or not? And how do you know if they're telling you the truth or not? So your sources of data become very important. We're going to look at a lot of different sources before the program's over today. The speed of the data is very important. How fast are you getting this information? I know we're hooked into a telephone directory, and we test it at least, once every 3 months. But the minute you get a telephone, we've got that number, and that's important. A lot of these directories are a year old by the time you're getting the information, and some older. And then in cyber tracking, we've got security issues also. You know, you never want to hack into anything. You never want to be somebody's friend. You never want to put out false information out there. Facebook is a big tool that we use, and you can look me up on Facebook. You can ask to be my friend. There'll be nothing on there that shows that I'm anything other than what I am. I think it shows my occupation as being a professional hunter, and that's what I am. We as cyber trackers, as Skip Tracer, we hunt the most wily prey on the face of the earth, our fellow man. So these are some things that we want to talk about. Let's kind of move forward with that and look at the computers. Computers are basically our gateway. They get us into these databases. And again, it can be a laptop, it can be a desktop, it can be your cell phone. A lot of times I'm out in the field and I'm actually tracking off my cell phone, using it to get into data sites. Some things we need to understand what they are link sites. Link sites have no data there, but they link you to the sites that have data. And I'm going to give you some of the main ones that my cyber trackers use and that I use as we go along. But keep that in mind. Understand what a link site is. There's no data there, only it's going to link you to the site where the data is. Databases. Databases are many different varied types. It can be anything from a directory, a free directory, a pay directory. It can be any source that's on the internet. It can have some type of base. And like I say, we'll look at some of those. An advanced search. Now, an advanced search is the exact opposite of the searches where you put a bunch of data in and you let the computer search for you. We refer to those as batch searches. An advanced search is where a human mind is involved. And just to give you an example, a while back we ran a beta test on a data bank and we let it do its own batch search with 100 names. Out of 100 names and the information entered, we were able to come up with 17 valid addresses. We took those same 100 names and I assigned 10 out to 10 different cyber trackers, skip tracers. We came up with a 62% ratio. The difference, the human mind. The human mind is able to look at something and, you know, you're looking for Ron Brown in a certain city. If it doesn't see Ron Brown, it doesn't come up. My phone's listed under R. Brown, so it wasn't coming up. But the human mind is able to reason, well, Ron may have his phone listed a different way. It could be Ron, it could be Ronnie, it could be Ronald, it could be R. So I'm going to take that information and look for somebody in that city, and lo and behold, here's a R. Brown in Edmond, Oklahoma. So there we found it. That's the difference between an advanced search where the human mind's involved and a batch search. Email addresses. You know, when I teach face-to-face classes, I ask, you know, how many of you have an email address? Without a, you know, a doubt, almost everyone in the room will raise their hand. Everybody has email addresses. Some people have multiple addresses. Social contacts. Social sites have become a big thing. Everything from like MySpace, which was the old original one. And, you know, I asked a while back, how many of you have a MySpace? Very few people look on MySpace anymore. Maybe that's why I can find people when other people can't, because those pre-boomers and about half the boomers still have a MySpace, as old as it is. And it was one of the first ones. Facebook, that's an important one today, and we'll look at some other ones. Alumni sites, where people stay in touch with other people they went to school with, very important in the social contact area. Public records have always been out there. We just weren't able to access them. Now, with the computer, we're able to go right into public records and we can, what we call downcase. You start out with a national database, you go to state, you go to county, you go to city, and they drop down. And then one of the greatest tools out there today are the maps. You know, there's several different ones. There's Google Earth. I like to look at those maps. I get somebody to give an address, you know, it's real easy to go and double check that address. I got people I've been looking for and they live in mobile homes. They live in mobile home parks or apartments. I find who I think they might be, put that address in, I look at it, and it's a $500,000 home in a very nice area of a particular city. Is that my person? Is that the person I'm looking for? Could they change that drastically? Well, certainly it's a red flag that it's not them. I'm going to double check it out. But again, you know, learn to use those maps, learn to use Google Earth, look at the addresses you pick up, see if it looks like where the people lived before. Remember I told you we're creatures of habit, absolute creatures of habit. So consequently, people that live in apartments move to apartments. People that live in mobile homes move to mobile homes. People who are buying their homes move to buying another home. Communications. The way we communicate today, like I say, never before in history have we been able to communicate this way. We still have landlines. And, you know, again, when I'm doing a face-to-face, I'll ask all the people who have landlines, raise your hand. The boomers, and there's actually a few pre-boomers in some of the classes, they'll raise their hand. You know, I'm a boomer. I have a landline. Nobody ever calls me on it. I never use that phone. You know, but I'm going to have it, and I'll probably have it till the day I die, simply because that's just one of my value tags. Cell phones. Almost everyone you see today has a cell phone. The smartphones, the iPhones, you know, answering machines. they're out there. And a big thing within the industry right now is, what do we say to an answering machine? How do we handle answering machines? It's just another way of communication. Fax machines. I remember when the first fax machine came out, I went down and bought five and gave them to my five major clients so they could fax me their assignments, not give them to somebody else, but they could fax them directly to me. There are fax machines still out there. Some people still use them. They're almost becoming antiquated, but they're still out there. Email, one of the number one ways that we communicate today seems to be email and texting. You know, I was at an assembly a while back and somebody says, here, let me give you my email address. Somebody, I heard them over talking, said, well, here, just text me. Let me give you my cell number so you can text me. They don't want to talk. Why? And, you know, and I ask people, why is emailing and texting such a valuable thing anymore? And what they say is, well, it's just a convenience. I can answer you when I want to answer you. I can answer you the way I want to answer and the time element I want to answer. And then we communicate through social media. And as I mentioned before, this has become a very, very big thing. One of the things that's changed tremendously yet has not changed are directories. In the next slide, we see some of the different directories. You know, all the directories, every telephone book in the world is on the internet, and it's basically free. I remember when, you know, we used to buy telephone books for the state of Oklahoma. Pardon me. We'd buy phone books for the state of Oklahoma, and when my people would go on vacation, they would steal phone books. No motel was safe. No telephone booth was safe. We had telephone books, and they were there. Traditional phone books were out there. Traditional directories were out there. We still have traditional directories. We still have card copies. I say most of these can be found on the internet, but I tell people to get out of the box. Think about directories that are out there, and most of them are on the internet. Home directories, homeowners directories are out there. You can Google the area that where the people live, the city where you think they might be. Church directories are out there. How do you find church directories? The way I do it, I've got a couple of pre-boomers that work for me. I'm afraid to ask them how old they are, but they call, they get on the internet, and we give them a list of churches in Oklahoma. They call every church and ask for a copy of their church directory. Some of them will say, well, they're on the internet. You can go to so-and-so website. Some of them will mail them out to us. A lot of information in church directories, military-based directories, union directories, all kind of directories. And I tell people, you know, you guys can sit down and just think about this. Just kind of have a mindset and talk to each other about the different type of directories you can have access to. Again, cyber trackers are going to access all of these on the net. And most of them can be found there. So that's one of the important things there. And, you know, I talked to you about sources. It's important that a cyber tracker understand where that data is coming from and what type of data it is. The first thing I want to talk to you about is proprietary data. That's information that you give someone and they own it. You know, you give out a lot of information. The Gramm-Leach-Bliley Act was put into effect because information that you gave to banks, credit unions, financial institutions was being sold. So now you have the opportunity once a year to opt out. You can tell them that if you're selling my information, stop. The thing is, and what I love, only 18% of the people in America have opted out. So a lot of that proprietary data is still out there. And again, understand what it is. It's data that is owned, and the people can do anything they want to with it once you give it to them. Now, with an exception, and that's protected data. Some of this proprietary data can be protected by various laws. Gramm-Leach-Bliley Act, as I mentioned, that's one of the big things there. A lot of states have state laws that protect certain data. So it's important that a cyber tracker understand a lot of the data they're going to be getting is proprietary, but it is not protected. If you don't get it, it's going to be protected. And we're going to talk in a little bit about where this data actually comes from. Great source of data for cyber trackers are the actual credit application. if you have access to it, look at it. Look at what's on it. Look for patterns. You know, where did the people live? Where am I going to find them now? What type of work did they do? Not only where they worked, but what did they do? I have a hard time convincing a lot of my people that everyone that works at the hospital is not a doctor or a nurse. You know, somebody has to do the other tasks, and they're out there. So look at not only where they work, but what they do there. Subprime data lists. You know, this is a good source of data. Most of you won't be able to get into it directly yourself, but you'll be able to get through a data broker. A lot of times the people we're looking for, that's where they're going now to borrow money. Buy here, pay here, car lots, payday loan companies, it's all out there. Warranty data. Every time you fill out a warranty card, you put non-public personal information on there. Your name, your address, your phone number, even other information. That becomes proprietary to the people that you give the warranty data to. And trust me, they sell it. They sell that information. Credit bureaus, you know, the header information is important. The information in the credit bureaus, important. They're getting better and better. At one time, credit bureau information wasn't worth a whole lot. Then it became good. Then it became bad. Now it's kind of moving up again. And then public records. Public records are very good. You have access to that. That is a great source of data. And once again, we'll talk about some of that. We're hooked into a system, public records, called UDS, Utility Data Services. Lists 80% of all the people in Oklahoma, part of Texas, part of Arkansas, part of Kansas. And if they have utilities, we got them. If they had the utilities turned off, it shows where their refund check was mailed to. If they move to another address, it shows where the when they turned off at the given address, when they turned on at the other address. All public record. It's all there. Driver's license information, traffic tickets, all there. All very good data. Now, as you get this data, it's important that you understand three things about it. Number one, is it a delayed data feed? I mentioned utility data services. The only problem with that is it is a delayed data feed. What that means is they only update once a month. On the 5th of the month, they update. So if I go in there looking for utilities, and I see, I go in on the 7th day of the month, and I see an address, and that's the old address, and I know they don't live there any longer. They have moved. I have to wait until the 5th of the next month before they will put the new information in there. That's one thing you want to find out when you're getting your data, when you're looking at data from any source. Does it have a real-time data feed or delayed data feed? Real-time, an example would be the telephone directory that I told you about that updates the day the phone's turned on, they've got the new information. So speed of data, delayed, real-time, and then updates and deletes. Do they take information out? There's one database, and it shows that I use the alias of Jimmy Dixon, that I live in Knoxville, Tennessee, and that I work for a McGee Tyson Air Force Base. That's not me. And I've talked to them. I've talked to their reps and told them, that's not me. Get that information out of there. You're going to send somebody out on a tangent. How did they get it? I know exactly how they got it. I went to school with Jimmy Dixon at military school. We went down the same day and got our Social Security numbers the same day. They're probably one digit apart or just a few digits apart, and somebody hit a bad keystroke. So there's bad information in there. But what this database people tell me is they're just a repository of information. People give them the information. They don't have the power to delete it. It would have to be the people who gave it to them. And I ask them, well, who gave you that information? Well, we can't tell you that. Okay, whatever. You know, so do they delete information they know is bad? Do they leave it in there? And how often do they update? Once again, are you getting a delayed update or are you getting real-time updates? Very few of them do real-time updates. Those are the three things that's very important when you're looking at data, when you're looking at the data sources. Then it's important that you understand the laws that cover that. Now, as a cyber tracker, you don't have to worry about these laws. As a skip tracer, certainly the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act has an entire section devoted to skip tracing. FCRA and FACTA, Fair Credit Reporting Act, and the Fair Accurate Credit Transaction Act. If you're skip tracing, talking to people, and they tell you they dispute the account, these are some very important things. You need to know these laws. HIPAA, that's medical information. HITECH, medical information. GLBA, non-public personal information. Red flag rules, non-public personal. TCPA, Telephone Collectors Privacy Act. TRIPA, and TRIPA is the last one in there, Telephone Records Privacy and Protection Act. And it's one you have to really worry about as a skip tracer, because it actually criminalized the act and it made it illegal. You can go to jail. You can be fined if you violate that law. But as a cyber tracker, all these laws that cover this data, as long as, and I repeat, you're in a read-only mode, you don't violate any of these laws. So you don't have to worry about that. Again, you know, FDCPA says the only time you can contact a person is 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. their time. Cyber tracking, you cyber track 24/7, 365 from any place you can hook a computer up. You don't have to worry about that. Keep in mind, you need to know these laws if you're going to be a skip tracer, as if you're only cyber tracking, you can kind of jump over them. So now let's start talking about our sources again. You know, people ask me for a golden bullet. Is there a golden bullet? There's no gold mine in the sky, and there is no golden bullet. There is no one data source that you're going to be able to go to that's going to give you all the information that you need. It's just not out there. So we have to understand, where are we going to go to get this data? Where are we going to go? And keep in mind what we're wanting to do. We want to find someone to be able to communicate with them. Either telephonically or through the mail or email or even text in some cases. So free databases. This is called a waterfall technique. Let's start with information we can look at that's not going to cost us any money. I'm going to go over these briefly, and then we're going to look at some of them. Telephone directories. Every phone directory in the world is on the internet, and you can cross-ref it as a crisscross. In other words, I can put in an address and get a phone number for that address. I can put in a phone number. It'll give me the address that phone number goes to. I can look at nearbys. I can look at neighbors. You know, telephone directories are out there. Public records, easily accessible through the internet. And again, you know, if somebody tells me, well, John Doe moved to Oklahoma, first thing I'm going to do is look at the Oklahoma State data sites that he might be in. You know, does he have a driver's license? Has he gotten any tickets in Oklahoma? Has he applied for any type of license, plumber's license, commercial driver's license, insurance license, anything like that? Public records you access, as I mentioned before, from the state down to the county, down to the city. And there's data, all kinds of databases there that you can get into. Windows, windows open, windows close. And let me give you an example of that. A while back, one of the major telephone companies was offering internet service. And you would go into that site and you would put the what type computer you were working off of, an IBM clone or an Apple, and you would answer a couple more questions about your computer and what speed you wanted. And at the end of it, it would say, you know, please enter your current telephone number. Well, you would enter that telephone number and you would get a message back that would say, is this the correct billing address? If you put in an unlisted phone number, it would give you the billing address for that phone number. That window was open for about 6 months. And skip tracers, cyber trackers, share information with each other. Someone shared that information with me, and for 6 months, we were able to put in unlisted phone numbers and get the address. After it gave you the is this a correct address, you just hit no and log out, and everything disappeared. Worked great. Windows open, windows close. Remember that. Social sites, free, but I would advise you spend a little money. Spend either, it's either $19.95 or $29.95, and become a gold member, because you get so much information that way. And, you know, if you can find out what school the people went to, hey, you can find them. The school sites are great. I love those sites. The social sites are increasing, and we're going to look at some of those individually. School sites are increasing. Once you've done that, and like I say, I mentioned waterfall, we're looking at free, free, free. Then, if you still haven't found the people, you go into your pay databases. These are information brokers. And we as a collection industry, we as an asset recovery industry have literally created the information broker industry. The need for information, and we need it quick, is what's created this phenomenon within our industry of people who go out and gather up information and sell it to us. They get their information from many different sources, stuff you now don't have to go out and look at, stuff that people may not even give you. I know one of the sources uses some of the pizza delivery companies. And you think about it, you dial in, they ask you for your phone number, and they say, do you want a pepperoni pizza like you ordered the last time? You know, they know exactly where to deliver that to based on that phone number. That is proprietary information. You gave it to them. It's not a credit transaction. Therefore, it is not protected under the Gramm-Leach-Bliley Act. They can do anything they want to with that information. This one particular company chooses to sell it, and you, in turn, then get little things coming in, free pizza, free this, free that. So information brokers, and they also go into public records. A lot of times, public records will want to charge you a fee. So consequently, they pay the fee, they get the information. I was looking at a report this morning, and I cyber track every day, and I was looking at criminal charges that had been filed against a man, and that was all public record, and that information was out there. The charges were filed. I decided it was, you know, almost useless to look for the man. He had so many judgments against him. He had so many criminal charges filed against him. He has either gone deep under or he's in the penitentiary somewhere. But these are the sources of our information. Well, what do you do with those sources? How do you know what source to go to? You know, the next slide shows something that's very important. How do we utilize advanced technology to find what we all must have to survive? So we sit down and we think, what do you have to have to survive in today's world? To not be homeless, to not be living on the streets, we have to have shelter. We have to have food. We don't eat, we die. We get skinny and die. Transportation. Transportation is very, very important today. And to get the shelter, food, and transportation, we got to have money. We have to work. That money's got to come from somewhere. A lot of times, paper money's become a thing of the past, and the people use credit cards, very easy to track. But these are the four things that we have to survive in today's world. Okay, where do we go to look for these things? On the next slide, we've listed some things. For shelter, those four basic needs, we look at property records. We can access public record tax records, utility records. New move-ins, somebody asked me a while back, well, where do you get these new move-ins? Two areas. One is utility records when it's turned on, new turn-ons. But the other one are newspapers. 80% of all the newspapers in the world today are on the internet. So if somebody says, well, I think he moved into Edmond, Oklahoma about 3 months ago, I'll go back to that month and I'll go through the newspaper. Edmond is a small town. You know, if somebody gets pulled over and talked to by the police, it goes into the newspaper. So they put all the new move-ins in, they take them a little bag of goodies and things like that, and that information is in that newspaper. They're on the internet. Most of them are free. Credit bureaus, like I say, credit bureau information goes up and down. They keep trying to improve it. It's getting better. But, you know, if you go buy a house, if you're renting, those people pull a credit bureau report on you, and it should show in there. And also insurance records. Insurance records are a big thing. And somebody asked me, how do you get into insurance records? All you got to do is know somebody in the insurance business. That information is proprietary. It's owned by the insurance people. There's a company that goes out and gathers all that data up for the insurance people. Think about it. When you go to get a car, where do they go to check to see if you've had any accidents? You know, to see if you've had any claims. If you're filing health insurance, where do they go? There is a big data bank of every insurance claim that's ever been filed. And it's separated out into automobiles, health, home, things like that. All you've got to do is find you a gateway to get into that. Food, we have to eat or we die. You know, obviously, you're not going to go to the grocery store and find out what kind of food they're buying, but you cannot eat food raw. It's got to be cooked. So therefore, to cook it, you've got to have utilities. It's got to be getting rid of. You know, you got to have water. You got to have gas or electricity. All these things tied directly into food, and you can track people through those records. Welfare records, if they're not working, if they're on welfare, all welfare records are public record. At one time, you'd have to go down to the welfare department and look at them. Now, most of it's online if you know how to access it. Transportation. I love transportation. When I'm working with a group face-to-face, I'll ask them, how many of you have a brand new car? Where do you have that car serviced? Obviously, the dealership. When you go into the dealer, you give them certain information. There's no credit transaction, so they own that information. Now, I do repossession work for almost every major car dealer and certainly every major brand in the state of Oklahoma. So if you're driving a new Ford, all I've got to do is give my man at the Ford dealership the VIN number from your vehicle, and he can tell me the last time it was serviced, what you had done to it, your home address, your home telephone number, and one thing I want more than anything else, the number to reach you in the daytime, which is your employment number. So then the big question comes up, well, wait a minute now, how do you get the VIN number off my vehicle? Well, obviously, I could walk up to it, you know, if I knew where it was at and get it, but that's not how I get it. I go online, I go to public records, I check lien filings. The lien entry forms that are filed with the county court clerk has a description of the vehicle you drive, and I can search by surname and find someone with your name and find the cars that have been had liens filed on them. That'll have your VIN number right on there. So it's there. Warranty records are great. Automobile warranty. Registration, you got to have a tag on that vehicle. That information is out there. Accident records, again, goes back to what we talked about previously, accident and insurance. All that information is out there. And keep in mind, you got to have transportation, you got to have food, you got to have shelter. And I said before, to have those three things, you got to have some money. Money. Money is employment. I was asked the other day by a group, where do you go to get employment? Many different places. You know, I like to do it free. So one of the major places I start looking for employment is on their social sites. People say, well, they're blocked. They're private. I can't get into them. You know, you got to learn to massage and manipulate. You don't look at them. You go to their timeline and you look at their friends. Go read their friends' timeline. Look for stuff like, hey, how do you like your new job at so-and-so? You'll find that in there. You know, it's on the friends' timeline what they send out. Look at the friends. Look at the things there. How do you like living in California? How do you like living in Florida? How do you like living down there in South Texas? How's your husband's new job at so-and-so? Oh, look, there you are. You're standing beside the apartment house where you live. You posted your picture. Also, most people don't realize it, but every photograph that is posted on these social sites have an embedded latitude, longitude in there. And if you have the equipment to pull that out, you pull it right out. So we look for employment in many different places. Workplace.com is a web-based database. It's a little pricey. I think it's $35 for a hit and $100 a year to be a member. But if I'm working on a $10,000, $20,000 judgment, I'll certainly gamble $35. It's $35 if they get a hit, nothing if they don't. Bank records, you know, I told you only 18% of the people have opted out. You can still buy bank records. I've got a database that I can go to, and it's pricey. But, again, if I'm working on a big judgment or something and I want to find out where you're banking, I can do it by state, I can do it by region, I can do it by national, and all I need is your Social Security number, which takes me about 5 minutes to get on a bad day, 2 or 3 minutes on a good day. And what we do is we run that number to see if there are any financial accounts under that number. And like I say, only 18% of the people have told them not to get that information out, so they still sell it to the database company. I'll never get it directly from the bank or the credit union, but they may sell that information. Check cashing habits. You know, where do you cash your checks? You know, remember, we're creatures of habit. We look at check cashing habits. We look at spending habits. All that information can be out there on the net. It's all out there. Cyber trackers look for it. Cyber trackers hunt it. Remember those four things: shelter, food, transportation, and money. Okay, knowing that, where are we going to go? Here are four sites that I talked to my cyber trackers, and I said, I want you guys to give me the four main sites you're using. These are four of the main sites that they use, and I've kind of got those listed individually. We'll look at Sagal, Black Book Online, PI Mall, and Manhunt Seminars. Now, these are link sites. Remember what I told you a link site was? That is a site that has no data, but it will link you to where the data is. Let's look at the first one, Sagal. Sagal is very good. It has U.S. and international intelligence and military databases. So if you're looking for people in the military, it's a good place to go. I would give you a cautionary right now, because we have so many military people deployed, a lot of the information will show them with what's called a shell company. They'll be assigned to the second, third of the first air cab, and when you check there, they won't be there. That's because that's a shell company. It really doesn't even exist. So military information is kind of hard to get right now. They have 80-plus United States data sites with downlinks. Remember the state data sites downlink. They have the courts, the federal courts. They have the FBI's website, the U.S. Marshals, FinCEN, Customs. They even have the CIA website on there, and they have what's called the CIA Big Book. It's usually 1 year old, but still a lot of very good information in there if you're tracking someone and you think they've gone overseas. All branches of U.S. military, all U.S. regulatory agencies, and I find a lot of people cyber tracking through these regulatory agencies. Department of Transportation, if they're driving a semi, if they've ever got stopped for overload, if they've ever been stopped for speeding, all that information is going to be in there. If they're medical, all the things that the U.S. government regulates and the people they regulate are listed at these different sites. The National Archives and Records, I am told, I haven't used that site very much, but I am told that every federal employee is listed at a site within that site. Interpol, and a lot of people don't understand what Interpol is. Interpol is not a police department. It is a national organization of police departments. But it's good to be able to go into their website, because if you're looking for someone, and a while back, we were looking for some people who we knew had gone to Peru. We went into Interpol. We found the Peruvian police. We contacted them. They gave us the information we needed. We had a successful manhunt based on the fact that we were able to get information for Interpol. So Sagal's a very good site. I would tell you all these sites, peruse them, look at them. There may be certain databases there you don't care anything about. There may be some that work very good for you. Take those and save them to your own. Build your own site of sites that you're going to go to. The next one, and one that I really like, is Black Book Online. This started out years ago, and it was crimetime.com. A lot of times these things change names. It then became Black Book .com, then blackbookonline.com, and today it's blackbookonline.info. A lot of these sites are, I tell you, they're like grains of sand in the desert. They blow around, they change places, they change names, but they're always there. This one is great because it has reverse lookups, it has phone directories, state records, federal records. It's got a list of mail drops. If you've got an address and you think it's a mail drop, you can put it in. It will tell you whether or not it's a mail drop. Businesses, if you're looking for business information on someone, and especially, you know, if you're doing commercial collections, that's very important. News searches, different newspapers, death records, SSDI, Social Security Death Index, which will tell you where the person died, where they were buried, when they died, and the address that their Social Security death benefit was sent to. Somebody asked me about death records a while back, and I said, well, you know, one way that we use death records is if we're looking for someone and we've got their parents' name, we look to see if the parents have passed away. If they are, it will give the date that they, and the city, usually, where they passed away, where that was, death thing was sent. We then go to the newspaper and do a news search through the obituaries from the dates they allegedly died we do 10 days back, 10 days forward, and we find their obituary. Anybody read obituaries? As you get older, you read more and more obituaries. It becomes a daily thing. You're looking for friends and relatives in there. You're looking to be sure you're not in there. But it will give all the different relatives and where those relatives live. Great source to start contacting people then. And push comes to shove, you have a skip tracer. If you're just cyber tracking, contact the funeral home and tell them you're trying to get in touch with the family, and they will usually give you the name, address, and phone number of the person that paid for the funeral. Real good source. That's the way we use that. They have specific skip trace sites. They have those bank record sites, aviation records, and vessel records. We find both of those to be helpful if we're looking for someone who is supposedly flying a plane or has a large boat or work on a boat. PI Mall, this is another excellent site. Unlimited links. This has got more links than you can ever imagine to different consumer databases. And keep in mind now, I emphasize, there's no data here, but it's linked to these different databases. With the one we just looked at also, some of those sites on PI Mall are pay sites, but they will be in green and there'll be dollar signs. And to get information, you've got to give them a credit card. So if you're letting your cyber trackers use that, don't give them a credit card number. If they give a credit card, it would be their own, and most of them won't do that. Very current information on PI Mall on most of these sites. It's got the greatest selection of links I've ever seen, and it's very easy to manipulate. That PI Mall has a lot of stuff there. That address, PIMall.com, gives you the overall thing, and you can find the area to skip trace. There may be other information there you're interested in. If you can't find that area, you can contact me, and I'll give you the exact address for the skip trace area. The next one, we talk about data brokers. The last one there, and I kind of took that out because that's mine. I will give it to you. You might want to write this down. It's www.manhunt-seminars.com. I don't like to advertise my own stuff. Again, there's nothing on there that costs you any money. It's a free site. But it's developed not only for people in the collection industry, but law enforcement. So there may be a lot of stuff there that you would see and say, I never use this because, you know, this is law enforcement. It's not me. It's there. You might look at it. And again, go to each one of those sites, pull out what you would be using, and build your own little list of places to go to. Data brokers. Data brokers are a strange breed. Like I say, we actually created this industry, the credit industry created it because of the need for quick information. You know, some of you may remember back in the day, as my grandkids put it, if you wanted credit, you would go down and fill out a credit application, and it may be 2 or 3 days before you knew whether or not you were approved. Everything was done manually. Now, the other day, one of the service stations near me is a Conoco station. They seem lately to have the lowest price, and I didn't have a Conoco credit card, and I like to use a specific card to keep track of my expenses. So I got one of their applications. I went online. I put the information in. As soon as I hit enter, within seconds, it came back and said, you've been approved for A, and it gave me my limit and everything. That quick, they had checked my credit. And, of course, a lot of people, all they look at anymore are credit scores, which can be manipulated and may not be accurate. But the need for that instant data where now, you know, you see car loans approved online in 5 minutes or less, they've got to get the information. They've got to get it quick. So the data brokers go out and they buy that information and then they sell it to you. And there's different ways that they sell it. Some of them will charge you a base fee and so much per hit. Some of them charge you no base fee, and you only have to pay if you get a hit. Those are the ones I like. Some of them charge you a flat fee for the year, unlimited searches. And again, it just depends on how your business is operating and what works best for you. I would tell you, if you're going to talk to data broker people, ask them to do a beta test. And what I see so many people do is they will take the 10 hardest skips in the world that nobody has been able to locate, and they'll put those in there, and then they'll come back and say, well, we didn't find any of these people, or we only found three of these people, or one of these people. Do a control. Take two or three files where you know where the people used to be, and you know where they are now, and put those in there and see if they've got that current information. You want to see, number one, you see there, how current is that data? How current is their data? Look at it. Where did the data come from? And don't hesitate to ask them, you know, where are you getting your data? A very important thing, was it legally obtained? I was very leery of bank records from the company that I was buying them from. How can you legally go in and get my bank balance and tell me in real time how much money I have in the bank today? But this company sent me a letter from the Attorney General from their state that the information that they were selling was proprietary data. They owned it. They obtained it legally. So, you know, you want to be sure and know that, because you don't want to get caught up in one of these. TRPPA, Telephone Records Privacy and Protection Act, will fine you just as much as they're fining the person committing the act if they found out that you know or knew that that person was doing something wrong to get the information. So ask them up front, and a lot of times, if you're leery, make them give you something in writing that information is legally obtained. How often is the data updated? That's very important. How do you guys update this data? You know, phone books are only updated once a year. So, you know, tell me about your data. What is the support system? And this becomes very important. Most of these, you have to change your password every 90 days. Sometimes you get in there and you forgot your password. It changed and you didn't bother to change it, so now you can't get in. One thing after the other. Is there a good phone number you can call and someone that will walk you right through the process? How good is the support system is very important. And then how easy is the data interpreted? There's one site we use, and it's great for private investigators that have a lot of time to spend analyzing data. It's not that good for a collector who's only looking for a telephone number or an address to contact the people. Too many tangents to go out on. Too much information. What did my grandkids say? TMI, I think is what it's called. So how easy is it for you to interpret the data from that site? And, you know, how easy is it to manipulate it? And some of the important things, and I believe I've got it on the next slide. Since our sponsor today was Microbuild, I listed, these are some of the sites that we use: Data Brokers, TLO, Accurate, Tracers, Locate Plus, IRB, DevPoint. Those are some of the majors. Go to the next one. With each one of these on the website, this is what I look for. This is Microbuild. I use Microbuild quite a bit. Their data is very current. I look at that. How current is the data? And I measure that data. I will use something where I know current information and just double check them. How effective is the search engine? The bots that they use. If I type in a name, am I getting the information for that name? And it's really odd. I can type in a name on some of these sites and it'll come back no record, no information. I'll type the same in on another site and the search engine finds the information and gets it back to me. We're always looking for social security numbers. You know, we say that the United States is the only nation in the world that does not give the people a designated number, an identification number. You go overseas, everybody's got papers, everybody's got an ID number given to them by the state, and that's a very important number for them. Here, we don't have that. The closest thing we have to it is the Social Security number, and that Social Security number can tell you a lot about those people. So they have got excellent Social Security data. The Real Property Database, and a lot of times when we're looking for people, this is what we're looking for. in as cyber trackers looking for real property to find the people. Like I say, if they're creatures of habit, they owned a home, when they move, they'll be buying another home. Excellent information on real property database. Also, another thing a cyber tracker looks at here is I'm looking at Mike Gibb, and Mike Gibb used to live in a 1,500 square foot house in a fairly low end area. I find Mike Gibb, and now he's in a $500,000 home in a very richy neighborhood. I can tell this by looking at the real property database. I can see when he moved in. I can see how much he paid. All that information is there and very important to a cyber tracker to be able to access that information. Excellent relative database. We can't find these people. We got to find the relatives. Now, skip tracers will call the relatives and talk to them. Cyber trackers will search the internet, social sites, to try to find the Facebook or the Twitter account on these people. And they'll look at those sites trying to gather information on the consumer they're looking for. Excellent relative database and very important. And then it's very easy to massage and manipulate the data there, to move that data around, to be able to find what you need to get to where you want to go. These are the things that you want to, and the tests you want to give when you're looking at any of these different databases that you're going to buy information from. How current is the data? How effective is their search engine? Just go right down that list. Now, I asked my people for additional sites that they're using, and this is the list, and they didn't know what each one was giving me, so I compared them, and the ones that were most used, this is what they are. GoogleEarth.com. They love Google Earth. They love to look at those houses and see the neighborhood the people live in, the address of the people next door, what kind of cars are in the driveway. Now, the Google Earth that you look at is not a real-time Google Earth. I look at my house about once every 6 months to see if it's been updated, and it's about a year old, year and a half old. PublicRecordFinder.com, they use that quite a bit. Netroline. There is your worknumber.com. Again, if you're looking, if you've got judgments against people, that certainly is worth it. Freetranslation.com. That one kind of surprised me. They say they can, if they want to talk to someone, they can type in the message they want to send or what's being sent to them. Or if they're looking at a database like Facebook and the people on it are, oh, let's say Hispanic and they're typing Spanish, they can take that, copy it, move it to free translation, and see exactly what the people are saying. Skippies.com, they tell me that is a skip tracing site. People ask me all the time, is there a mobile phone database? Is there a database where we get mobile phones? Absolutely, there it is right there. However, it is a voluntary thing, and you got a 99% chance the person you're looking for isn't going to volunteer up the mobile phone number, especially if it's a throwaway phone. A real simple one, info.com, findagrave.com. That actually shows the grave tombstone. And again, what they look for there is where the people are buried and the date of death, which will give the exact date on the tombstone. And then they go to the newspaper looking for those obituaries. Payphone directories. You know, payphones are almost becoming a thing of the past, but there are still some out there. Zero.com. And this is a real good website, lots of information there. There's your old MySpace, Facebook, Twitter. You know, I love Twitter. People on Twitter, they tell you when they're going to the bathroom. I mean, it's amazing the information that they give you on Twitter. Alumni.com and Classmates, those are two sites that they say they both like to use. And we pay for the gold membership so we can get in there and look for these people and look at the notes and photographs. And they got a new car, and they'll photograph that new car, and you look at what's in the background. Maybe it's where they work. Also, it shows me where I'm going to go to look at that chattel record when they bought that new car, where it was filed. That becomes public record. It'll have their address on there. Craigslist and eBay have become two big sites where my people search for people. They're buying stuff, not paying for it, and selling it. And they find a lot of people through Craigslist. Find a lot of people on eBay. Abica.com, they sell all different types of information. I've been using them for years and years. Very good company. And say, very, very good information. ReverseTelephoneDirectory.com and YBLoss.com. These are different sites that my people use that they like. Again, I think a copy of this will be available to you through Andy or through Mr. Gibb. If you ask him, he'll get them to you. The next site we look at, social media. I want to delve deeply into that just very quickly in the time we have left. The social media investigation looks into the social media post, status, updates, photos, conversations. Might require a social media investigation for a court case, custody battle, or part of a background investigation. It can be used as evidence in court cases to support alibis, provide supplementary evidence for risk assessment, and for active monitoring. Social media, very important. I have listed there, and I'm not going to go over each one of these with you. We'll just kind of look at them briefly. But all the different social media that we use, and I've given you instructions like on Google Alerts, Technorata, Addictomatic, TwizUp, Social Mention. I've given you the instructions there basically on how to use those. Hootsuite, Clout, Web2 Express Monitoring, Board Tracker, Monitor. I'm telling you what they're giving you and exactly what's going on. I like Monitor. It's a real-time live Twitter monitor. You enter up to three keywords and you monitor for those three keywords and what's being said. And it will monitor the people that you're looking for. The next site that we look at is some new technology out there that's being used. It's called LPR, License Plate Recognition. And I'm telling you, I don't care where you go, where you're driving, they're photographing your car, your vehicle. How do I get that information? All I've got to do is go back and get that motor vehicle VIN number, run that VIN number, I'll get your tag number, put the tag number into DRN, which is a digital recognition network. It's one of them. There's several. There's three majors that you might want to look at. They have 1,500 to 2,000 cameras nationwide, growing daily. They do 4 billion scans per month. And they've got they have 4.7 billion scans in their system. They're doing 145 million scans per month. Their address is drndata.com. There's some pros and cons with that. The pros is it's good information. It's out there. It's tracking those vehicles. If you know what vehicle your consumer is driving, you certainly can get information there. It is pricey. That's one of the cons. And for some reason, it keeps getting sold from one company to another company to another company. But this license plate recognition is just unbelievable anymore in what they're doing with it and the way they're tracking people. The price went down. One of the major data brokers was offering that information. And then recently they have backed out. It changed hands and the people don't want to sell it to the data broker now. They want you to buy it direct from them. And just to give you an idea, from the data broker, it was costing $25. From them, it cost $350. So once again, a lot of this stuff is pricey, but if you're looking for a $1 million judgment or something, it's there. Learn when you're tracking to massage and manipulate. This is one of the biggest things I can tell you. People get in there and they seem to have tunnel vision. They're looking for Ron L. Brown and that's all they do. They Google Ron L. Brown. They go to the different sites, they put in Ron L. Brown. Doesn't come up. You can just Google Ron L. Brown. Google Ron Brown, comma, Brown Ron. R. Brown, comma, Brown. Ron Brown in parentheses, Brown Ron in parentheses. You know what city I'm in. Ron Brown, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Ron Brown, and you notice there's no spaces in the next one. Ron Brown with a asterisk after it. If you know that I've got a email address, Google it. Big Ron 500, Sugar Lips 909. Google, Google, and Google. A cyber tracker understands there are millions of websites. There are millions of documents. There are millions of lists out there that you have access to. 24/7, 365 from any place that you can plug a computer in. Cyber tracking is becoming a big thing, an important part of the industry. And as I say, the people coming into the industry today are computer literate, They know how to cyber track. They know about all these different sites. The sites continue to grow. They continue to add people. One thing to remember, always, your number one tool, your mind. You've got to be able to think, reason, understand why the people are doing what they're doing, be able to counter move, and use all those abilities together. Mike, do we have any questions? Did anything come up? You see any questions?
We do, Ron. We've got a couple of questions here. We definitely did get some questions about accessing the presentation. And I think, I mean, if anyone doesn't mind sending me an email, and if it's okay with Ron, I'm happy to send this presentation out back to them. Ron, that's okay?
Absolutely.
All right, excellent. So that's the easiest thing. That takes care of that. One question that came in, what company do you use for bank searches? Do you want to get into that?
I use Abica, A-B-I-K-A, and it's on one of the lists. But I will tell you again, they're very expensive. There's other ones out there. I would tell you, Google bank account searches and see what comes up. And look, you may be able to find less expensive ones.
Got it.
I average around $450 for one of those.
Okay. Another question, where do you purchase employment information from? I know that you listed some links, some sites there that that might offer employment information. Is that where you go?
The best one I've found is that workplace.com, yes. And like I say, they're pricey to a degree, but again, it just depends on what you're trying to accomplish with it. If you've got a big judgment, that's what we use them on mainly, is when we're collecting judgments. We'll use them. And if they don't get a hit, they don't charge you anything. That's one good thing about it. You pay an annual fee, and then you pay a per hit, and no hit. And even they're very good to work with. A while back, a man was working for a company, and what they gave me was the address of the home office where the paychecks came out of. And I tell him, you know, that doesn't help me a bit, because that's not where he's at. They gave me a refund. So, you know, easy to work with.
Got it. I've got one more question before we wrap up. A lot of what you, I mean, there's an overwhelming number, amount of information here, and I, on behalf of everybody, I want to thank you for sharing that. A lot of the stuff you mentioned were, you know, when you're looking for big high-end judgments, or you're looking for expensive cars, what about if you're a collection agency and you're looking for, you know, a $400 credit card debt or a $500 medical debt? You know, is there a different waterfall that you would recommend that those people go through for that type of information?
Not especially, just develop your waterfall technique, which is look at those different free sites that I gave you and decide, you know, time and knowledge is what you have to trade as a cyber tracker. Find mm-hmm. the sites that give the most information for people in your area, and different sites are germane to different areas. Find where you get the most information and decide, okay, on an account between zero and $250, we're going to check here, 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 here. If we don't find it there, we're through. We're going to transfer it, move it to a dormant stage. If it's $250 to $500, we're going to do these next three sites. If it's over $500, we're going to do three more sites. Develop your own strategy and plan your work your plan. I think that's the old saying. That would be my recommendation.
Well done.
And again, there's a phone number there, there's my email address. I'm very happy to consult with anybody if they would like to call me. I'm not looking to charge you any money. It's free. I just, you know, if you have anything you want to talk to me about, any specific questions, I'm available. Just call the number.
Well, Ron, I could definitely vouch for your availability and your interest in helping, because this is now the second webinar you've done with me in the last month or so. And you've sat here for the last almost 80 minutes. And just kind of gone after, got listed resource after resource without really asking for anything in return. So on behalf of everybody who listened today, who stayed on for most of the 90 minutes, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
I would close with a quotation from Ernest Hemingway. There is no hunting like the hunting of man. And once you've hunted man and liked it, you'll never care for hunting anything else thereafter. Good luck. Good hunting, my friends.
How can I top that? But I did want to thank Microbuilt one more time for sponsoring today's webinar. Thanks to everybody who listened, who asked questions. And we will get a copy of the presentation out. Just send me an email and have you send it to you. I hope everyone enjoys their weekend, enjoys the Super Bowl. Please stay tuned to accountsrecovery.net for news and more webinars in the very near future. I hope everyone enjoys the rest of your day. Thank you.